Chev, it's been a long time.
It's been a hot minute. Someone's been, going to school. They've been getting schooled.
Yeah, some of us have been really, really busy, and the rest of us have been you.
Yes.
But it feels good to be back in the saddle. It feels good to be back recording after the sun goes down. Mm-hmm. This is After Dark number, who even knows at this point. But we're back. We're doing it again. And we received an email.
We did. We got a letter.
It would be smart for me to actually pull this email up so I can read it to the people. But we received an email from a longtime fan. I'm going to generously say, here we go.
Well, he says he's been listening for about a year. I'll classify that. I'll classify him as one of the top 10.
Yeah, honestly.
Top five.
Just for the fact that he, I would take him over probably you and Eric.
Yeah, yeah. We've never explicitly said, you know, we enjoy doing this, so.
But yeah, so our friend has reached out to us, and he was saying that he's been listening for about a year now and been trying to get into CPDH. He has heard the good word of the Lord that we have been, You can tell that I'm out of recording shape. He has heard the good word of the Lord that we've been preaching, trying to get into CPDH, and he was wondering specifically about staples. Now he's working with a white blue list, mm-hmm. Right, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But we just wanted to kind of turn this into a more general discussion on. So you're trying to get into CPDH, right? What are some things that you should be thinking about, whether that's strategies, things that you need to account for when you're deck building, as well as, of course, staples for our good friend here.
Yeah.
So let's take a real brief look at the deck that was sent to us, and then we can kind of get into our overall, more broad topics, right?
Yes. So
this is an Aethersworn Sphinx deck. Mm-hmm. What does this card do, Chev?
Aethersworn
Sphinx. Why does it cost
Sphinx
so much damn mana?
It is a 9-mana 4/4, so instantly deck trash. But it's got that line that made everyone quake in their boots for a while around the original Mirrodin block, which is affinity, specifically affinity for artifacts, since we now have affinity for tokens. But anyway, 9-mana 4/4, a blue, a white, and 7, affinity for artifacts, flying and cascade. So
you know how I feel about Cascade. Yeah,
you can probably get a pretty good idea of what's going on here. You know, you get a couple artifacts out. Aethersworn Sphinx is down in price, but the Cascade is going to, of course, be off that 9-mana cost. So if this was any more powerful, Affinity plus Cascade would be something that gets cried over and spoken of in harsh whispers. But it's PDH, so we've got a little more leeway.
Yes, that is for sure. I'm taking a look at this, and I'm already seeing some pretty good staples in here. Mm-hmm. So I think this list is on the right track. I'm just trying to...
Right, so if...
We'll put the list in
the description. The combo is a somewhat classic in CPDH. We're going for the Peregrine Drake, Ghostly Flicker, and Archaeomancer lines with a few redundancies, things like... Salvager of Secrets as kind of a backup for Archaeomancer, something that's going to return an instant or sorcery from the graveyard to hand, and that's going to be Ghostly Flicker. And then, of course, you're flickering Peregrine Drake to untap for mana, gain mana every time, infinite mana, to hopefully cast Aethersworn Sphinx an infinite number of times. And then what you're trying to do with that in this particular deck is use another Modern Horizons 2 card. And I'm trying to find it now. It's the one that's when you cast a spell with converted mana cost 4 or more, create a 1/1 Thopter.
Yeah, it's the Ethereum Spinner.
Right.
Okay, now I'm seeing
yes.
it. Okay.
So.
All right, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's the path towards the win is fairly traditional, mm-hmm. right? Or, you know, we've got the Ghostly Flicker, Peregrine Drake, etc. I'm also seeing the Banishing Knack, Banishing Knack, Retraction Helix. It looks like that. Line is in here as well, but the way we win is instead of just like decking our opponents out or dealing infinite damage, I do like that we're going for a more combat focused.
Yes, yeah.
Path.
And honestly, although I know our
notably there's no haste on those.
Well, there is a crashing drawbridge in here to give him haste. So
Yeah, of course, that's fun. I'm sure once we have our infinite mana, we can draw infinite
pretty much anything. So I think honestly, this particular person reached out to us because they wanted to hopefully submit this list in 3 weeks. The next period is in 3 weeks for submission to the CPDH database. So everyone get your submissions ready or your updates, or we're going to start coming after you from the recent sets where we've definitely got some new staples. But I think what really gives this deck a chance of kind of showing up and getting onto the list is a unique take on this combo. Because at this point, we have plenty of versions of a infinite mana combo in the database. The one I'm looking at most frequently is Wall of Denial, which is probably the most pure version of it, where we're dirtling and trying to hold off as best we can for as long as we can until we can do that combo for the more traditional ways that you were stating earlier of the retract of milling our opponents or all that kind of stuff, the traditional lines of play. So having something unique here with the infinite number of Thopters, and then of course all of that dealing with making Aethersworn Sphinx cost less and less to play, is a really a unique take that we don't see as frequently.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. And this deck, of course, is a little bit more proactive, I guess you could say, than something like the Wall of Denial list. The Wall of Denial really is trying to...
reactive, you know, to the
shields
core.
Shields up and stuff.
A Wall of Denial in 08 with Shroud and Defender and Flying. So definitely not a proactive deck, some might say.
Yeah, this one can start just getting in. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of creatures that we can ping in with or you know, just to start getting those chip-ins in. Yeah. So this is a super cool deck. Should we move on to kind of some staples and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think, like I said, I think there's already a good chunk of these. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of the classic draw spells, you know, and that double as removal spells, right? Like we see Into the Royal, we see Retraction Helix, you know, we've got Treasure Cruise, Ponder, Preordain. And then also some good amount of my favorite three mana rocks that have additional value, like Honored Heirloom, Network Terminal, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else in here that Chev, that's tickling your fancy that you wanted to shout out?
Want to call out? Yeah. So especially with the Commander Legends Baldur's Gate, which has been slightly overshadowed with Double Masters and the whole slew of I want to say degradations, but that's not the right word. Downshifts in rarity. For cards from that,
yes.
But we'll be talking about that tomorrow. There's a lot of stuff here that can probably be updated from those two things, but we've got all the classics, the Mystic Sanctuary, like you mentioned, the Tormod's Crypt as a good piece of removal. Because really what is going to separate a deck from PDH and CPDH is CPDH is a lot more combo focused, and it's usually like people are going to win... try to win with one turn and win one or two turns later. There's usually not a massive accrual of resources. So a lot more slots in a deck are dedicated to removal, interaction, and that sort of stuff. And very specific pieces. Blink of an Eye is a classic piece. Aether Spell Bomb is another good one in these colors. The Honored Heirloom, of course, is the classic that I really like. I've honestly come on to lose focus a lot. You're really hurting for two mana counters at common. And lose focus from Modern Horizons 2. Two mana, I think it's like a Spell Pierce, but you can replicate it for a blue and essentially just cast multiple copies for however much they have left. And usually when someone's trying to combo out, they don't have a lot of mana open, let alone four if you're casting this for three, but probably only two. So I think that's a good one. We see Spell Pierce in here as well, Muldrifter, and all the classic pieces. So I think we have a very good base. And at least the list that was shared with us, it's still at 90 cards. And I think, honestly, we've got the combo here. I think we've got enough creatures to, we've got enough creatures to kind of pad the field a bit. The rest of this can go to staples and removal.
Yeah, staples, removal. So let's talk about staples a little bit in CPDH, right? We're working with white and we're working with blue.
Yeah.
And I guess if we're feeling ballsy, we can maybe talk about the other colors, but specifically here, blue is definitely something you want to know because, right,
yes.
It is, I would argue, the best color in CPDH.
Yes.
It's
one of the only two
amount.
Colors with tutors, it's instantly in the top two, if not the top.
Right, so let's break down, in terms of blue staples, there's a few different categories that I think that we hit, right? One of them, like you said, is tutors.
Yep.
Another one is counter spells.
Yes.
Draw spells.
Yep.
And then bounce spells.
Yes.
Which are blue's quote-unquote removal spells.
Right. Although, if you don't count counter magic and removal spells and all the other stuff blue has access to.
Right. So, or let's say removal spells in general, because that's things like bounce spells, but it also contains things like Kazmina's Transmutation, yes. Frogify.
Right. Those sort of altering effects, yeah.
Nullify whatever you're doing with your creature sort of stuff.
Tameo's Completion, I think, is the recent one. That's a little costly for CPDH, but I know that one's pretty good as well.
It's still very good. Yeah. So we have removal spells like that. We like Tameo's Completion. Is it Deep Freeze? I believe.
Yes. That's the one that turns it into a
defender wall. Yep. And then of course we have like bounce spells like Into the Royal, which doubles as a draw spell.
Mm-hmm.
For counter spells, obviously. Actually, I don't see counter spell in here, so maybe that's something that we want to.
Right. Counter spell is a good one to include.
Counterspell.
Arcane
Muddle
Denial,
the Mixer, of course,
yeah.
is great because it doubles as a tutor.
Yep.
That's another thing is that I don't know exactly which transmute cards we have in here. I saw a few of them, but I like to try and play as many of those as possible
yes.
just because we are a combo deck. We want to get to our combo pieces.
Right.
I do see Dizzy Spell in here, which is nice. That can get you different pieces of the combo.
Yeah.
But yeah, Counterspell. Like you said, Arcane Denial. We do have Mana Leak in here, Spell Pierce, Negate. We're doing pretty solid on counter spells. Obviously, you can never play enough counter spells,
right? Especially in a format opinion. Like this. Like people are going to combo off, so having a solution to that is going to be super super helpful. I know there's a couple spells that even exile. If it counters, those are usually 3 mana. I think those are pretty good as well in a lot of cases.
Yes, for sure. I think what I would want to do here is
Fairy Trickery is what I was thinking of there.
Yes, I think we could maybe get some more draw spells in here.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely improve just the velocity at which we're seeing cards. Right, obviously we can tutor for some things, but if we just see more cards, we're more likely to get the combo.
Right.
I mean, we've got Ponder, Preordain, but I don't see like Careful Study in here. I don't see Compulsive Research. I guess it depends kind of how aggressive we want to get with discarding cards, but you can really get some value in terms of mana spent for how
we,
many.
We've probably got a Pop a Popper screaming into the abyss that we're missing a Bonder's Ornament here. That's not limited to
Bonder's
blue, but that's going to be pretty good in decks like this, as especially in the PDH mid game where resources dry up, or not resources dry up, but cards dry up, and then you're just left with a lot of mana and nothing to do with it.
Yeah, there's no Mind Stone in mm-hmm. here either. And that's another thing for this deck specifically, is that we can really make better use of artifact
yes.
staples, right? I mean,
we do have Network Terminal 14
artifacts
in
here,
and that's pretty good. And whatever else you said that I talked over.
No, I was just saying we have 14 artifacts in here. 14 strictly artifacts.
Right.
Obviously, some of our creatures are artifacts as well. But I definitely think that we could get that number up with some more staples. I mean, even something like a Prying Blade or a Ceremonial Knife are going to generate you either mana or card advantage and give you more artifact tokens for your affinity.
Correct.
And Aether Sworn Sphinx is not the only card that has affinity in this list.
And it's also worth mentioning, like, your combo is your primary way to win while we're still talking about this deck specifically, but you're still dealing with a 4/4 flyer base. And you're hopefully having it come down for maybe 4 or 5 mana. But you attach a blade to that or something. There's not a lot of commanders in the competitive scene that do have flying. So you're going to be able to get in a few clean attacks, get more counters, get more tokens, et cetera, et cetera. So it's worth kind of seeing combat as an option.
You know, that's something that I wanted to bring up with this. And I think maybe the only real downside to Aether Sworn Sphinx
mm-hmm.
is that cascade does not work with counter spells, right? That's what we like
that
to call a non-go.
Yeah.
So now I'm actually looking back through and I'm wondering if we want to just take the chance that sometimes we just basically, you know, quote unquote whiff.
Right.
Just because counter spells are so important and so powerful, and obviously we're playing, you know, all the best ones, or if we want to shift our counter spells
more bounce
and reallocate some of them into other staples bounce and we haven't talked about White's strengths yet, but there's plenty of cards that we could shift into those, because there's frankly not that many White staples. There's frankly not that many White cards in this list.
Yeah,
actually,
it's very blue.
One, two,
White has a lot of pretty good removal. Before we move to White, there is one particular card I want to call out for blue that's probably worth including, but it is a little meta dependent. Echoing Truth.
Yeah.
Their rat decks are kind of coming up more and more. There's a really good rat deck with Grey Merchant of Asphodel. I champion a Persistent Petitioners deck. Echoing Truths will bounce all cards with a name to hand, and that can be devastating against those kind of decks. So 2 mana, destroy a board state is a very powerful spell to include in your arsenal, and worst case is just a normal bounce spell.
I think that's definitely something that should be included. It, like you said, it can absolutely wreck certain decks, but also there are plenty of decks that just make a significant amount of tokens with the same name. I'm thinking any Tormod list.
Yep.
You know, if you can just bounce naming zombies and completely undo all that they've done.
Yeah, especially
and
the
of
tokens,
course
yeah.
they can't play them back out, right? Yeah. You know, eventually if you give Duskmantle Guildmage enough time, you'll just play all the petitioners back out again.
Right.
But not so much with those zombies. So yeah. I took a little look. We have 6 counterspells in that list. I think that's enough to justify the potential brick. I wouldn't add any more, and there's a few that I would switch out. Obviously, I think, I don't know, I'm a huge fan of OG Counterspell. Some of our friends in the community might say that double blue and 2 mana when we can play something slightly more conditional but only for 1 mana or 1 and a blue might be better, but this deck is already heavy blue anyway. So I would say that, but I think what you want to do in terms of adding more staples is probably add some of those White staples. What sort of categories do White staples really fall into, Jeff?
White is really removal of some creature variety at common, but mostly artifact and enchantment. And that is going to be very useful against a certain number of decks, especially the equipment and Voltron decks. But blue, I see this list probably like, and most lists that are Azorius, as like maybe 65, 70 blue, and then 30, 25 white. Like, you're not... White is not as powerful a color, but you've still got things like Oblivion of Ring, Journey into Nowhere, good, solid exile-ish removal spells that are going to be good. And then you also have versions of the Frogify and Kasmina effects in Reprobation, which turns a creature, loses all abilities, and turns into an 0-1. So you've got stuff like that. You've got some damage prevention as well, but that's getting a little farther afield. But I think you're going to most likely be using effects like the Oblivion Ring effects and artifact.
You've got like bound removal. Yeah, the Oblivion Ring effects were my main takeaway. Things like bound and gold. Things like what's the Neon Dynasty equivalent? It's like
what's the one where it turns them into a treasure? I'm forgetting that one now. I think it's from AFR.
Oh.
But that would definitely be a good one.
Minimus Containment, I believe,
yep,
right?
That just got reprinted
as
well.
Yeah, and then there's a, I think, I want to say it's Caught in the Headlights, I think, does the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those.
Break Ties is another really good one. 3 mana, instant from Modern Horizons 2. Choose one, destroy targeted artifact, enchantment, or exile card from graveyard. The modality on that is amazing. And then it has Reinforce as well, which is not what you're going to use it for. But 3 mana for any one of those abilities as opposed to the usual 2, you can get rid of something in a graveyard. I'm thinking specifically for any of your sort of Ghostly Flicker loops, exiling Ghostly Flicker from a graveyard is going to give those decks a bad day. You've also got like Crib Swap, which is just a straight up exile spell, and that's going to be very nice as well.
Yeah. The removal in White is even though White gets dunked on a lot and it's still not the greatest in CPDH, it's got some pretty top tier removal.
Yes.
Especially since a lot of those Oblivion Ring or, you know, nerf this permanent type effects can hit permanents, right? They can hit artifacts. You can get problematic enchantments depending on kind of what your meta is. So I definitely think that we want to be including that sort of stuff in here.
You've got those like instant protection spells as well. I don't think they're as important to a deck like this, but I'm thinking more as a general staples point for usually Boros decks that are going to care more about your commander being on the battlefield. Shelter or all those ones that's like instant target creature gets protection from something until end of turn, that's going to nuke or nerf most removal spells in the format. It's probably worth including one or two of those if your commander is important to your game plan.
You know, those could be nice in this, because normally if we were running a list that has blue in it, I would say we could play the blue spells that there are several blue spells that are a singular mana, like something like Keep Safe, counter target spell that targets a permanent you control, draw a card. There's a bunch of things like that. But like I said, since the cascade counter target spell conflicts, being able to still rip a protection spell that you can potentially just cast on your creature, because remember, if you cast a protection spell on a creature, they can potentially attack through or attack profitably and potentially take out a creature. So just having something that still is a target for that, that could be a consideration, especially if, I mean, I'm assuming the backup plan, if we don't get to the combo or if we're disrupted in the combo, is
smack Aether Sworn
Sphinx beat down. So you were talking shit about the reinforce on break ties, but you know,
that's true. Yeah. Give it a little bit. I would most likely save it for someone else's graveyard thing, but you know, you're a turn away or something. Hit him with the surprise. Yeah,
you never know. You never know.
But yeah, I think this deck is definitely going in a good direction. We've talked about, you know, the blue and white cards you're probably looking for something like this. Maybe then, yeah, we focus for a list that has its combo. It has all the rest of the cards to do it. We're just trying to make sure this combo stays, and so is able to kind of survive opponent's interaction. So then the two types of cards that you probably want to add are going to be protection of your permanents from the removal spells that everyone else is playing. Yes, these are all commons, but there's still a healthy amount of removal that is going to be powerful in the format, so you need to be able to protect against that.
Oh yeah.
Removal of your own, because like every color really besides maybe green has really good removal options at common. Yes, you're in white. Play all those things that you cut from your EDH pre-cons, and those are going to be perfect in here. Specifically mentioning Crib Swap with that comment, but Graveyard is just as much of a resource in this format as anything else, so I'm going to push that. And then any of these other removal spells that are permanents and stuff off of a cascade are going to be perfect and not going to be as much of a whiff as a counterspell would be.
Yeah, for sure. And I would look into more artifact staples as well. You've already got something like Aether Spellbomb in here, which is one, an artifact, so synergy.
Yes.
But also it's either a bounce spell or it draws a card. I would look into more artifact staples. I think I mentioned the Ceremonial Knife earlier.
Gulvain Pick.
That's definitely one that I would continue. Mm-hmm. And then you can also try potentially something like a Prying Blade, which will give you treasures for, you know, mana value as well as affinity value.
Yeah. And then anything other than that, you want graveyard interaction, stuff like that, but there's a good number of that at this point. That you've got the you know, Tormod's Crypt, Relic of Progenitus, more individual like instant spells like we just talked about. But yeah, I'm sure there's a few more artifact ones that we're forgetting. Honored Heirloom, we already called out.
I guess another thing for this is that there could be a little bit more redundancy.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we have Ghostly Flicker, but you can also put Displace in there.
Mm-hmm.
We have Salvager of Secrets and Archaeomancer, but you can play Mnemonic Wall as well.
Combos are always going to be more fragile in PDH, so I personally don't feel comfortable running a combo deck unless each piece of the equation has at least two copies. Like, I don't want to be running this and relying on one specific card when there are so many more ways to deal with something than there are to get it back. We've got a couple ways, but in white-blue, we're not going to be recurring creatures from the graveyard very effectively. So having, like, I like how we have both the Archaeomancer and the Salvager of Secrets. The Peregrine Drake is, of course, like one of a kind, but Cloud of Fairies as well can do a pretty good job, and et cetera, et cetera. So having that redundant nature, especially in PDH, is very important, like Julian just called out.
Yeah, 100%. How's our land base looking? Are we Are we covering our bases here?
Right. So
I see some artifact lands, of course, which is what we want.
Yeah, yeah. We've got those, and then we've gotten a lot of pretty good dual lands recently in these colors. I think the land base is fine. As for PDH staples in lands, obviously you're in blue. You want Mystic Sanctuary. That is probably the best land in PDH for what it offers.
Yeah, 100%.
You've got the artifact Indestructible Cycle for Modern Horizons 2, which is, you know, fine. They're tap lands and they're not going anywhere, but no one's really trying to remove land, so it's not really a problem. We do like the Sneaky Seed of the Synod and Ancient Den because, of course, Aether Sworn Sphinx has affinity and these are artifact lands, and that's pretty good.
You know what I'm not seeing in here is any of the cycling lands, and I'm a huge fan of the cycling lands. They can be hit or miss depending on what sort of deck you're playing, but in a two-color deck like this, that is... the mana curve is slightly higher.
Yeah.
Obviously, Aether Sworn Sphinx costs quote-unquote 9, right? And, you know, we have some 4s and 5s in here.
White and blue are probably...
I would definitely try the cycling
lands. The best colors to take advantage of those two, because a lot of white and blue is most likely at the competitive level going to be wait and see what counterspell, what interaction do I need to play this turn? And then when you're left with not needing to cast any of them, throw away a cycling land, draw a new card. So it seems very good to have a couple of those in here as another resource or outlet for your mana when you don't cast it as interaction.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, to be fair, actually this deck, converted mana cost is only 2.47. Mm-hmm. That's actually not as bad as I was thinking. And we're running 34 lands.
Yeah.
So you could probably swap out, especially if we're not going to play that many white cards, you could probably swap out a Plains or two for...
Yeah, we've got plenty of rocks in here as well from, you know, the Signet, the Cluestone, the other Signet, Felwar Stone, Honored Heirloom, Marble Diamond, Network Terminal. Like all these 3-mana rocks we called out earlier for their great secondary effect, still tap for mana when we need them.
Yeah, we know what we're doing. This list knows what it's doing when it comes to mana rocks. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. We've got all the good ones. Although I would put Mindstone in here just because I do love trading it in for a card.
Yes. All right. Is there anything else we want to call out specifically for this Aether Sworn Sphinx list or white and blue in general? Or do we want to kind of just switch to the briefly talking about other colors in the best way that we can?
Yeah, I think we've pretty much hit everything for this list. Obviously, all lists have their own identity that they need to hit, right? You can kind of tweak it depending on how things work, how you like to play. Obviously, staples are staples, right? Theoretically, you should be playing these cards. But like we said, there's a little bit of redundancy, so you can tweak as necessary. Yes.
And a lot of it will also be meta-dependent, because CPDH has a lot more decks, I think, that can exist at the top level than maybe CEDH. So you're going to be dealing with a lot of different strategies, and depending what decks you're going to be up against, like I mentioned earlier, Echoing Truth might be worth including, or maybe a sideboard slot. And so a lot of these staples, if you're not running across a lot of artifacts and enchantments to remove, for example, you're going to be running less of those cards. So keep an eye out of what you're actually facing, and then, of course, take into account what are the dominant decks in the CPDH meta, or what decks do you see the tryhards playing and publishing in videos, because that is probably a pretty good indication also of what decks are seeing play that you should be prepared to come up against.
Yeah, of course. And that's something that can be written about in the primer for this, if it does get submitted. This something like this that feels a bit more mid-rangey and a bit less linear. Obviously, it's a combo deck. It wants to get to the combo.
Yes.
But it feels a bit more mid-rangey, a bit less linear, or mid-rangey even to control. There's some more flex slots, I think, in something like this than there would be in like my Cryptic Serpent list, which is very, very one-track mind, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can definitely tweak to your meta and then just provide considerations for other things depending on what other people might be experiencing in their meta.
While I think of it, and because I have a particular deck list up, Runaway Together, another great blue bounce spell, 2 mana, choose 2 target creatures controlled by different players, return those creatures to their owner's hands. Great for Commander, 2 mana bounce 2 creatures that are problematic of 2 different players. But of course, since there's 4 players, like that is a very good rate for that card.
We also have, ETBs are the name of the game, but I would not mind at all to return one of our own creatures to our hand, especially something like Aethersworn Sphinx, getting that cascade again. You know, if the deck is doing its job, we have at least five artifacts out, right? Mm-hmm. So being able to bounce this and something else and then play this again for four mana, essentially netting a free card with that cascade, is pretty sick, especially if Aethersworn has been killed multiple times and now it's up to like 13 mana or whatever. Yeah. Getting to play it again for relatively cheap is nice.
Agreed.
Plus, you can reset to another thing that I think doesn't come up enough, but is cool, is you can reset your, if we're going to be adding a bunch of things like Deep Freeze and Reprobation, like you said, you can actually reset those, right? Mm-hmm. You can bring those back to your hand.
Yeah.
Put it on a more problematic permanent.
Permanence, yep. That's a very good idea.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. I just noticed that this has 69 views. Nice.
Awful. Okay.
All right.
To Jund.
The worst. The worst thing. Yeah, Jund. Yeah, the less exciting colors, right? So I let's talk about black, right? Because black is probably the second best.
Yes.
Or,
I think tied for best. Color honestly, if it's so,
it's very
in
close.
CPDH and PDH in general. Black is going to be the second fiddle, or you know, the on par with blue because it has the same amount of tutors. Transmute is going to be the main way to tutor, besides like Merchant Scroll, I think, in blue. Transmute is going to be the main way to tutor in PDH. So black has access to tutoring. Black obviously has creature removal. Black now has a few instances of enchantment removal, and it has creature recursion. So it has a lot of these key parts that you're going to be looking for in any sort of deck. And probably the card to call out most is Oubliette. Two black and one enchantment. Target creature phases out until Oubliette leaves the battlefield. Now, with the way the commander rules work, phasing out is not leaving the battlefield or exile. So your commander cannot choose to go to the command zone because it's not changing zones. So Oubliette can essentially remove a commander from play until Oubliette is dealt with. And you cannot get that commander back.
That's pretty fucked up, honestly.
That card alone is why black is so powerful. But we can also mention Victim of the Night, a 2-mana instant destroy target, non-vampire, non-werewolf, non-zombie creature. Outside of Tormod, this will pretty much hit anything. So it's a very good card. But you've also got Murder. Feed the Swarm is a very, very good card we've seen recently. This is the targeted enchantment removal we get from black. A lot of the times... black is dealing with sort of edict enchantment removal. We get a bunch that are like 2-3 mana instant. Each opponent sacrifices enchantment they control, or target opponent sacrifices enchantment they control. But Feed the Swarm is like the only way to point to an enchantment and be like, be gone. But the fact that black can do that is very, very powerful.
Yeah, for sure. I think the thing with black for me is that it's not... It's a little bit less versatile than blue, right? If we just counted like the categories like we were doing earlier.
Oh, board wipes. Don't forget black is board wipes. Crypt Rats, Pestilence.
Crypt Rats, Pestilence. It's the only way to actually clear the board. Is it Evankar's Justice, the buyback with deal two to everything?
Yeah. Red is coming back with some like sort of sweep the board of like, what is it, Fiery Cannonade. Deal 2 damage to all non-pirate creatures. So red has it at the 1 and 2 mana level, but Crypt Rats, of course, you can pump any amount in and deal a ton of damage. And then there's Gangrenous Zombies, which Oakley has used against us to great effect, which is like deal 2 damage
to all...
It's like
the snow version.
It's like deal 1 damage to like non-snow and 2 to snow, or something to do with snow, wipes the board in a similar way.
Yeah. But yeah, Black is slightly less versatile for me than blue, but it just has so many. Like it's that sheer
volume,
you know, quantity
card draw,
over quality.
Siphon,
but there's still
Mind, Blood Fountain.
There's still plenty of
Blood
quality.
Packed.
Yeah, Blood Pact, Pointed Discussion. Read the Bones, Sign of Blood.
Night Whisper, Whisper of the Night, whatever the 2-mana one is.
Night's Whisper. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, black is it's just. Yeah, it does what it does, right? It kills things.
yes, and it does that
it's
very
just,
well.
It's a very, very efficient at that, I would say. Green is kind of underwhelming in PDH, honestly.
Yeah, I think at least at the competitive level, you green is usually seen in the enchantment lists of like Satyr Enchanter, and usually seen as a secondary or tertiary color for what it can do.
Yeah.
Green has fight as their main removal mechanic and destroy artifacts and enchantments, but if you're playing white, you already have that. Green is pretty good at protection. We've got things like Avoid Fate, Snakeskin Veil recently, Tamio's Safekeeping is super good.
Yeah, for sure.
Target permanent you control gains hexproof and indestructible until end of turn, gain 2 life. Any sort of Voltron commander is going to want that. Like, granting hexproof is one thing, but indestructible for a turn as well. We've got regenerate ones as well. I think something Vigor. Vines of Vastwood is the classic, of course.
Yeah.
So
green has some pretty good auras too. Like if you're doing, if you want to be doing any sort of Voltron-y sort of thing, which usually sort of comes with the Enchantress list,
right? Rancor.
I mean, we've got things like Ancestral Mask, Rancor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's some good stuff in green, but it's not the force it is in normal. Because you know, there's not really that many great ramp spells.
No. At common. I mean, there are most of them. Cultivate, Rampant Growth, Kodama's Reach. All common, so green still has that benefit.
Did Kodama's Reach get a common?
I am 90%.
I thought one of the three mana ones was not there. I know that Rampant Growth was there, and you have things like
Kodama's Reach was at least common in its most recent printing, and has been common some time.
No. Whoops. Well, I hardly ever played green in CPH. Right. I always want to play a blue.
Tamio is a force to be reckoned with in PDH. Normally Tamio though is winning with blink combos, so green is good to help get there, but also the just draw off of that, which is the blue influence, does a lot of the heavy lifting. But yeah, green is not...
Wait, did you say Tamio?
Tatiola.
Yeah. I was confused. I was very confused for
Tamio, the planeswalker got printed at uncommon. No, Tatiova.
Yeah. Tatiova. For sure. Good shit.
But yeah, I'm glad you called out the auras because it does have some very good ones. And then if anyone's played actual 60 card popper, what is it? The like Ancestral Mask and Utopia Sprawl and Fertile Ground, all of those have been printed at common as well. So honestly, yeah, the color of auras, green, which is not what I expect from that.
Yeah, for sure.
But its removal, besides maybe Ram Through, target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to a target creature you don't control, and then if the creature has trampled, deal excess damage. But like that's as powerful as green removal is going to get.
Do we have I think the thing is, if you're playing green, you're not going to be playing it by yourself. Just don't. Most of the fight cards are not worth it. Just play the good removal cards.
Right, you're playing another color as well. Don't lean on green too much.
Do we have a Enchantress list in the database? I'm looking real quick.
There should be a Satyr Enchanter list. I know...
There is a Satyr Enchanter list. Okay,
that would be the main
one. That is the only one, though. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's also the only Selesnya list in there.
Yeah. I mean, Satyr Enchanter Selesnya is just such a strong card. As we saw with Sithis last year, a 3-mana, play an enchantment, draw a card, and you're playing like auras with that, there are a ton of really good, cheap auras that you can play in these colors, like Rancor being one green, play it when the creature that, like, the main drawback of auras, right, is when the creature dies, they die, but Rancor goes back to hand. So you're just essentially paying one mana to draw a card and cantrip for a +2 benefit. So there's a ton of that good stuff. It's only a matter of time before we get another Selesnya or Bant uncommon commander for PDH auras.
Oh, you know what? Let's not forget the most important green card. How could I forget Lignify?
Green
card, actually.
Yeah. Another one of these turn creature into something meaningless are definitely one of the better ones because, of course, it allows you... You can't get it back with something like Mortuary Mire in black or the enchantment in black that's like pay a black, discard a creature card from your hand, return a creature card from graveyard. Tortured Existence, I think. Card from graveyard to hand. That is a very good black recursion spell.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else we want to mention about green?
Not particularly. I'm perusing this.
Return to Nature being the better version of that white spell we talked about earlier. Can do anything for 2 mana as opposed to 3. You see Entourage of Trest in a couple green PDH lists, CPDH lists, bringing the Monarch mechanic in to add a little chaos, but more specifically, that's really it. Especially if you're a deck not necessarily trying to win through combat, giving opponents an incentive to attack each other is always good.
Yeah, I mean, green, right, big creature, big hit hard, beaters, whatever.
Yep.
But generally, that's more of a normal PDH thing, right?
Right, yeah.
If you're playing a mid-range deck in CPDH, you want to be doing something slightly unfair,
yes, right?
Either winning through a combo or having something like a Witherbloom Apprentice. I would classify as like roughly a mid-range, right? It ramps, it removes, it attacks a little bit, right, but really it's just got that inevitability of
instants and sorceries, which probably black is contributing to more.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm it's death by a thousand cuts, yeah. Really, it's that inevitability, that additional stuff, as opposed to just I attack with my 5/5.
Yes,
you know, so I don't know. All right, let's talk about red last real quick. I think red is actually a little underrated. There's a lot of small things in PDH generally,
yeah,
and having plenty of one mana and two mana burn spells it's just efficient, really.
Yeah, dealing with that, like we called out a little bit earlier, the Fiery Cannonade. I think we got another one in either Commander Legends or a downshift where it's another like sort of sweeper at the two mana level. Recently in Crimson Vow, sure, we have a few. Blood counters was a red mechanic, so you've got a couple things like Belligerent Guest that create a blood token that's, you know, discard a card, draw a card, that can be useful in this. Yep. And most recently, red has been really good at draw. I mean, it's no blue, it's no black, but when you don't have those options, like Faithless Looting, Reckless Impulse is of course going to be the poster child. 2 mana, exile the top 2 cards until the end of your next turn, you can play those. That's about as good as it gets, really. And so having more cards like that, of that sort of impulse draw that red is getting more and more of, is very good. Aside from the, you know, typical Lightning Bolt, Lightning Axe, or all of those ones, Galvanic Blast, all the things that just like deal direct damage to something else.
Yeah, for red, for me, I do like the new impulse draw. I'm a huge fan of Reckless Impulse. But there's still a lot of classics, right? Like Faithless Looting, like Tormenting Voice.
Yep.
And for something like CPDH, where you
need to get through generally, your deck. Like, you need to find a way
to get
through
your deck. You're trying to find your combo, right? So you have to play draw spells, right? And if you're playing a red one. But the other thing is that, you know, unless it's a combo piece, generally, I'm way less upset to just pitch these commons, yep, away than if I was, you know, in EDH and I played this and I had like a bunch of mythic rares in my grip and I was like, oh, I don't want to get rid of any of these. But for something like PDH, especially if you're playing a combo, I personally find red usually works best with blue. You're doing the spell slinger thing, yep, so you're casting lightning bolts or you're casting draw spells and just ripping through your deck. And like we said, we can toss some stuff to the side as long as we're getting that much closer to our combo or triggering whatever we
red,
need to trigger.
Red also has the it doesn't come up as frequently and it's much more context specific, but red also has the double strike and first strike enablers. I'm thinking of lists like Vioshino, whatever the one is that's like
Slaughter Master.
That's the Jund, like it, given an aura and a double strike. That one has double strike on the card, but red is the color of giving this idea that can turn kind of what you thought was a 2-kick kill into you're dead. Also, recently, Ryan Papa Popper has been working on a Mr. Orfeo the Boulder deck from New Capenna, which is whenever you attack, double target creature's power until end of turn, where something like Teemer, mm-hmm, Battle Rage can be very potent. Red is going to be usually the color of Voltron decks at the competitive level, so having the ability to just double your commander's power for a turn is pretty potent.
Yeah, for sure. And I think red should not be slept on in terms of combos as well. There's a lot of red cards.
Thermopod,
that
right? What's that line? Because you tried
combos
to play that once.
Yeah. Thermopod is...
To put you on the spot specifically for this comment.
I think Thermopod, normally you're going to be doing it with something like Dargo, mm-hmm, right? Where you can get those that...
Malcolm?
cost reduction.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can go Malcolm and Dargo, but Dargo gets that cost reduction, and then for something like Theropod, you basically sack the creatures for a red, and then it's enough to pay for Dargo. Wait, what is the combo? I honestly don't remember the combo. But yeah, it's basically you can do an infinite loop like that, and then of course we also have things like Impact Tremors, which is a kind of a win condition on its own as well if you can make it stick around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's.
All right, now I'm really mad. I don't remember what the freaking.
Sorry, I luckily Clay will come to the rescue, and by that I mean looking at his list. Let me see. Thermo. Oh, no. It doesn't have a Thermopod combo, at least in the Dargo one I was looking at. This is a Reckless Fire Weaver combo one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do love me some Reckless Fire Weaver. And now we've got Ingenious Artillerist as well, too.
Yes, classic. That is another good one.
What is... Oh, hold up. I got to look this up. Thermopod PDH combo.
We know what we're talking about, we swear. We told you that Thermopod is part of it. We just need to know the rest of it. Does Glam,
wait.
Yes, okay, so...
Okay, here we go. Yeah, I was going to say, we're probably looking at the same thing right now, the Cormella.
Yep.
With Exhum, Ashnod's, and Thermopod.
Right. Thermopod in this case is really working as a sac outlet as well. But it does gain infinite mana that you can then do something with for something like Grapeshot.
Or It is one of the free... This is not the combo I'm thinking of though. Shoot, this is gonna bug me. But I we're on air. I'm not gonna.
Someone in the comments will tell us. But yes, there are very few free sac outlets at the PDH level. So Thermopod serves that purpose just as frequently as Ashnod's Altar, which is the more expensive, more generic one. But there's only I think like maybe one more than that can be free. I remember it wasn't for PDH, but I was looking for free outlets for a budget Eudora deck recently, and I really just came across Zurin Orb as a classic. But Altar of Dementia is down to $7. Not PDH, but a good EDH pickup if you want to lose friends.
I found it. I got it. All you need is Thermopod and three creatures. Because if you sack three creatures, you get triple red from Thermopod, yep. And Dargo gets reduced by six. You cast Dargo for a singular red. You got two red left over. You sack Dargo to Thermopod, adding another red. And you will always, because of Dargo's
cost reduction from sacrificing. This turn. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. You're always up by like one or two mana. So you can cast Dargo technically infinite amount of times. And that's where something went, like that.
Okay. Gotcha.
Impact Tremors. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. That's stupid. I hate
it. I knew I was not. Okay. Yeah, I knew I wasn't crazy when I said, yeah, you just need like a certain amount of other creatures and you can get there. Okay, we're good. We've redeemed ourselves. I'm sorry to all the CPDH
fans pulling their hair out for a listening. Minute, getting ready for some Twitter messages.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. We already have them. So that's pretty much the staples of all the colors in a nutshell and roughly what you want to be looking for. And then, of course, we also went into a little bit more depth on that
The blue
that
white
just weren't fixed list.
Yeah, I think the big.
Is there anything we're forgetting?
I think the big things are just make sure you understand what are the downsides of your colors and understand that PDH has a lot less wiggle room than EDH, right? Like we don't have Beast Within's, we don't have Chaos Warps. You are going to be limited to the removal of your colors, so make sure you know what that means, and then how would you deal with the other problems? Because I think when it comes to staples, a lot of it is just code for removal. Outside of your main lines, outside of like your green ramp or your red draw or your blue draw, like you're talking about how am I going to deal with what is on the other side of the fence? Because CPDH is a very reactive format and you need to be able to deal with the threats that come down. So figure out the ways for that in your color. And the best thing you can do... especially if you have a list that you're either not sure what areas you're missing, is just post it in the Budget Brews Discord, where we have like a PDH deck building area. That's also where submissions go. And also just go to the Budget Brews budgetbrews.club. It's a little bit of a weird URL, but budgetbrews.club will get you to go to the Pauper section, find a list that's in your colors or the deck that you're looking to make, and just scan it for your instants and sorceries. And that's going to be a very good idea of what is useful, especially at the competitive level. You don't have to reinvent the wheel with that. I know it can be very fun, especially because without a resource like EDH Rec, you're a lot more in the dark as to what cards are frequently showing up in PDH lists. And as much as we're going to try to, you know, get a resource like that, it can be very freeing to not have one. But even still, if you're preparing to play in the competitive setting, you want the best of the best. Look at the decks that have already proven to be that.
Yeah. You also can, there is, on a smaller scale, there are, and they're smaller scale, harder to find. I will attempt to link them in the description if I can find them again. There are certain like things on Moxfield that are like, here's like a list of,
yes,
you know, staples. Yeah. Right. I believe they're called packages. I think it's like a separate thing you can categorize. Correct. On Moxfield. But if you just look up like PDH white staple, yeah, package,
I think I'm we, sure you we can, mostly you can have Papa Pauper to thank for those. He's truly the one of the deities of the format.
Yeah, he's the one that I go to when I need to. Whenever I start a deck, I'm like, what are all those good cards again? Oh, right. Okay, yes. Got him.
Yeah,
got him. You know, after I nail down the general strategy of the deck. Yeah. So there are resources. Obviously, we're not as mainstream as normal EDH, but mm-hmm. we're getting up there.
Yeah, more and more each set. I think I'm very excited for the talk we have with the crossover with PDH Pod that I think we're recording on the 28th. And hopefully we'll get that edited shortly after, but where we're going over all the downshifts, yeah, that came out in Double Masters, because holy shit, that's a lot.
There's, yeah, like they really went for, yeah, it.
Yep.
They really went for it. So yeah, that'll be exciting. All right. We've rambled long enough. Yep. I really thought this was going to be a shorter pod, and it was not at all.
I want to, anyway, before we officially go to bed, I want to give a special shout out to at least a couple of the decks that I was looking at to help make these comments. One is the soon to be submitted Mr. Orfeo Rock and Roll, or Rocks and Roll, Johnson, which is by Alcathos and Papa Pauper. We've got the Wall of Denial list Pillow Fort combo by Pwnbeard. And then, of course, the Affinithopters, which is by Schmish, which is the person who reached out to us and was having us kind of go through and give an idea of what else we'd be looking for in a list like this. We also looked at the Dargo Malcolm by Clay and Cute Snail for one of the Thermopod lines, and the Cormella Glamour Thief deck by X-Lil. Just look up Cormella. I don't know what to pronounce this as. Yeah, someone tell me, please.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, and I mean just the DDB in general. Yep. These kind of
all hail the DDB.
A lot of how we are. All hail. All right, shall we?
Yes.